Hoda Lemper inspires shock and awe, to coin a phrase. She's a striking presence and a striking talent who's become considered the world's foremost interpreter of cabaret, but a kind of cabaret singing that soars beyond clever into sultry, something dark, deep, and sinuous.
Speak low when you speak loud. Our summer day withers away. Too soon, speak low.
That's Kurt Vile's Speak Low. But Miss Lemper is also something more than another ironic cabaret artist. She's been acclaimed for playing Velma Kelly in Chicago on London's West End. She's in the middle of a new North American tour to promote her new CD, But One Day. It features the songs of Kurt Vile and Jacques Brel and Hans Eisler, as well as some of her own songs. Hoda Lemper joins us in our studios. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
And once and for all, how do you feel about the Dietrich comparison after all these years?
Well, after all these years, truly. I mean, it all started in 1987 when I was living in Paris and I was doing the show, the musical Cabaret. And Dietrich still lived in those years. She died in 92 only. And
She's living in Paris, in fact.
She did live in Paris, yeah. Yeah. And she was hiding out there in her little apartment, I think, for many years. And everybody started immediately the comparisons. It was kind of a cliche comparison, I think. I
you
did,
mean,
though.
Like she was the only other German singer that people could think of at the moment?
Probably, yes, probably. Mm-hmm. Well, I did, though, also interpret her repertoire. That means I was very attracted always to the songs of the Weimar Republic, the Friedrich Holländer songs, her part Lola. I actually did that part in a big show in Berlin. And the whole repertoire of this time where she was a part of the scene, of the political performer scene in the 1920s before she came to America and started the Hollywood career. Mm-hmm. And so there were lots of parallels. Also then, once I dyed my hair blonde, because I'm really a brunette, not a blonde.
No.
It started out with...
I wouldn't have guessed that, just sitting here with you.
You would.
I'm trying to be a gentleman,
you
all right?
You are terrible. and the cheekbones and everything. And you have a photo session in a very specific light with a very specific Man Ray touch on the photographs. And you can look, anyone look like Dietrich.
Wait, she called you once? I'm trying to remember the story.
Yes, she called. And I had written her a letter. I said, this is so strange and I'm so embarrassed. Everybody's comparing me and I'm only 22 in those years. And you're such a grand lady with such an amazing career behind you. Then she called me up and we had a 2-hour phone conversation. This was in 1987 and I could not believe it that actually I had her on the phone, but she really sounded like in the movie from Maximilian Schell, very fresh. And she seemed to be very wise and she did not seem to have lost her humor at all. She was very wicked.
I want to ask you about your own music. Let's listen to Cut 2 by Surrender.
How many thousand years can one fight till someone plays a violin and peace erupts again? Everywhere for a moment, does anything ever change out there? Like you and me, we change. You and me, we change.
When did you start writing your own music?
I've always had words with me and stories, storytelling. And I did a French album before where I wrote my own lyrics all the way through. But with the music, really, I only had the courage to do this lately. Inspired by my last album, Punishing Kiss, where I sang the songs of Tom Waits, Elvis Costello, Nick Cave, songs which were written for me by people who were somehow deeply inspired by the tradition of the songwriting from the 20s in Germany. There is a lot of Three Penny Opera in Tom Waits, a lot of it in Elvis Costello, and Nick Cave with his murder ballads. He's always intrigued by this image of the anti-hero, the way it was exposed in the Three Penny Opera with Mackie Messer, Mack the Knife, and those images from the world of Brecht, of course. So for me, this was the step to bring everything, this whole load of treasure into the present time, but also now, for a change, live in a contemporary musical landscape.
I want to ask you about another song on this new CD. This is called The Ballad of Marie Sanders.
Yes.
There's a subtitle, too, isn't there?
Yes, in German, it's Ballade der Judenhure Marie Sanders. That's the title in German, which means she was a Jew whore. That's the name, the way Brecht described that woman. This song was created by Hans Eisler and Bertolt Brecht in 1938. It was a reaction to the laws of racism, which were put out by the Nazis right before that. That means that also all the women who were together with Jewish men, or all the men who were together with Jewish women, were, you know, discriminated and eventually taken away. And it's a very, very serious song and a very terrible song. It describes her, you know, being with this Jewish man, and at the very end she thinks nothing will happen, like nobody will believe it. Mother, just let me go one more time. Everything will be fine. And then at the end, her head is shaved and she will be executed like all the others. It's a very tough song.
Let's listen to some of it if we could.
And at 9 one morning she walks through the city in a slip, with a board around her neck, her head shaven, the crowd cheering, her eyes cold, and thousands go down and line the street and hear the beating of drums.
Can we learn from a song like this? And let's give at least our audience the benefit of the doubt. They know what happened after the Nuremberg Laws. They know they know where history led. What does a song like this
It's
teach
just
us?
Still. Me as a German, I'm still completely overwhelmed by the fact that in a very high culture where education was permitted. Political freedom was permitted. There was lots of intellectuals. It's a country which was, you know, on the top of a great culture and political system, that this could have happened. That racism would be established as a law and as an accepted thing. And really, it just shows you that you have to speak out and make sure nothing like this ever could happen again.
Let me ask you about the song Little Face.
Little Face is, of course, the little face of my children, their little faces. And it's a song really dedicated to them. And I traveled so much, and I'm sometimes too much gone, and I hate it. And it's so different to find a balance in life between your work and motherhood. And sometimes you feel you're missing the greatest part, and I can't live without music on the other side. And every working mother has problems, and certainly those mothers who have to travel a lot. Fathers probably too.
Let's hear a little of the song.
And your little hands inside mine, and I know why. If tears might run, if only to protect you from sadness and grief. As much as I can, as long as I can, as strong as I can, let you pillow. and butterflies. Trust and believe. You dry my worries. You warm my heart.
Do your kids know what you do for a living?
Yes, of course. Yeah, they actually.
Well, but do they know that everybody, every other mother in the world, doesn't do that?
Yes, they do. They do. Okay. They do know that, and. They see, you know, in the record stores, the posters, and I was on the buses in New York when I was performing in Chicago. The billboard is still up on Times Square, but they don't respect this at all. They when I vocalize at home, they say, "Mom, shut up! You know, it's terrible. Go in the bathroom." But they watch rehearsals, and they do like my album, which is great, and the other albums too. They are, you know, obviously they listen to Avril Lavigne and what young children listen to today, and. But they are open. I try to give them a broad education on this.
What music would you like us to end this interview with?
Ne me quitte pas is one of the most gorgeous songs from Jacques Brel. And this is one of my favorite songs. We recorded it in London with the symphony orchestra. We were in the studio all together, and we just rehearsed it once through, and then we just took the first take. And I was so overwhelmed by the arrangement, you know, mm-hmm. the lines, the contra lines, the contra melodies of the strings. I just... It very rarely happens in a recording situation because there's a lot of pressure of perfection in this moment. But I was like drenched with tears. I just thought it was the saddest song ever possible about loss. Loss of friends and loss of life. And I just was taken away. And after this, the conductor said, "Oh, we have to do it again. The strings were out here and we were together." And I said, "No."
On a vu souvent jaillir le feu. Ne me quitte pas, je ne veux plus pleurer, je ne veux plus parler, je me cacherai là, à te regarder, danser, sourire, et à t'écouter.
You talk about surrendering yourself or losing yourself. When you do this for a living, can you lose yourself in music the way an audience can?
Yes, and that's why I'm doing it. I want to get a kick out of it. I want to just go somewhere. Because it's on stage and in music, you concentrate energy through a little hole in a needle. You take a loop and you concentrate. It's like a laser, and it just pierces life. You know, the essence of life, mm-hmm. and it's much less banal than all those words every day with all these people and all the talk and all the worries and everything. It just goes like right through the middle, and I'm allowed to do that with music. That's why I love my work.
Nice talking to you.
Thank you.
Uta Lemper, her new CD is But One Day. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.